Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Sheikh, last time we spoke about how, again, this phase, the teenager phase in the young adults' lives, is a very sensitive phase. They are trying to find out who they are, their identity, and they associate themselves with all different groups and so on and so forth. But Sheikh, what can we as parents do to protect our children from falling in with the wrong people?
So we were mentioning about the switch personality,
right,
in the previous session, said, you know,
switch or split personality.
Split personality, right, is a disorder, but switch personality, I don't see it as a disorder. It's more of an effort to fit into different groups,
right,
and all that. Now, one of the needs of the teenager is to mingle with his own age group, because,
right,
they strike a chord with each other.
Just like young children, where they see another toddler.
Exactly.
Immediate relation.
Like I have two daughters. One of them is 3.5 years and the other one is 7-year-old. My 3.5-year daughter find it very difficult to mingle around and play with 7-year-old girls, because their kind of games, they run around.
Maturity, their thinking, they're
is way off.
Level.
And similarly,
right, yeah,
my 7-year-old daughter finds it difficult to mingle around and play with 4-year-old girls.
Of course.
And they have a different kind of a game.
Right.
So this teenager, he finds it difficult to be at home and, you know, associate with the level of maturity with the parents.
Older generation.
Different, right, generation. So he finds it much, much more comfortable to hang around with people of his same age group, you know, that,
right,
about,
yeah,
13, 14, 15. That's the kind of group that they hang around.
Right.
And at one point, this social need takes such a higher position, priority, that he is willing to sacrifice his natural relationships, like father, mother, brother, and sister, to uphold the relationship with the
friends.
His social relationship. So he's okay to upset the mom and dad, but he's not okay that his friend gets upset, right? Now, this can be looked at from the parents' point of view. This can be looked at as an opportunity and a threat. Which part of it? The need. The need of the teenager to mingle around with other teenagers of the same group.
We can use that to our advantage.
Exactly. So he has an opportunity and he has a threat. The threat is that if we let him loose, we say, oh, my son is mature. He knows who to pick. He knows who to hang around with. I have full faith in him. So I'm just going to let him
loose. Basically dissolve ourselves of any responsibility.
Yeah. Exactly. And then you allow him to go pick and choose. And you,
right,
should know that he does not have that maturity to
and
pick
this happens.
The right kind of
parents are not involved
all
at all with the teenagers.
All
lives.
The time. All,
right,
the time. On the other hand, they can see it as an opportunity and create the necessary environment. How do they do that? By taking your teenage son and associating them with the right kind of families, taking right. them to the pious families.
Good friends, families,
decent families where the interaction is happening between the teenagers and they're all well-mannered, well-upbrought children. And this is where you can make sure that my teenage son or a daughter is not falling into wrong company, but hanging out and mingling with the right kind and pious people.
Right. Let's expand on this after a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, just before we went on a break, you said that one of the methods that we can employ to ensure that our children associate themselves with the types that you want them to associate with is to take them to good family outings or to find them good friends or help them find good friends. Basically provide a safe environment.
And take them to community centers, take them to
like
places
the mosque.
Where the right. mosque or the community center programs where you have the amal going on, the dua komel going right. on.
So religious activities, but also fun activities.
The fun activities. Yeah. With the same family members, with the same teenagers, you can plan a good outing. You know, you can go to theme parks, you can go to park and play ball and football and catch and whatever. That can be done, right?
And that's up to, of course, the parents. They must provide this. A teenager himself, he cannot plan such a trip or an outing. He doesn't have the resources or the capacity.
And the authority to plan such a thing, right?
As well, yeah.
So the parents have to be involved into this. Right. And therefore, they should see this as an opportunity that my son has a need to mingle and play around with people of the same age. And this is an opportunity for me to take him and allow him to mingle with the right kind of people.
Of course, ideally, they already have childhood friends by that point.
Yes.
So just use the same good childhood friends.
And sometimes, you know, what happens, if your son falls into wrong company, then irrespective of the fact that you are sending him to the best school, you have some of the best teachers, you're taking them to the community center, you're taking them to the mosque, you're taking them to
clothes, perfume, appliances, doesn't matter.
Nothing matters. Everything goes into vain because he's being conditioned by the wrong company that he's hanging around with.
Right.
They are the ones who are telling him what to do, what not to do, how to behave, how not to behave. Now, how much soever effort you put in, because of that source, one of the dilute or, you know, influenced source, this is causing all the harm to your son. So 80% of effort goes in from you. But because your son or your daughter is in the wrong company, just about 20% effort from their side
and
80% is washed off.
No result, unfortunately.
Yeah. I remember, let me tell you my personal experience. I remember some of my friends in the college. When I was in the school, we were classmates and I saw them being the top performers in the class. They used to be among the top three, top five students.
The best grades.
Straight A's, right? And then once we got into college and about 3-4 years later when I met them, they were totally out of hand.
They fell off.
Totally. They're into all kinds of bad habits. I don't want to mention them on the radio, but everything that I thought that they wouldn't do, they had already done it and they were proud about it. And this happened because when they went to college, the parents felt that, oh, my son, he's a good guy, all straight A's. Let him have his freedom because I know he's going to make the right decision.
Right.
And with zero involvement, he made his friends, he made his choices.
It's a completely uncontrolled environment.
And he couldn't even finish the college. Right?
He dropped out.
Actually, he was not interested. You know, most of the time he would be missing from the college and they would be going out to places that I shouldn't be mentioning here at all.
Right.
So I was shocked. And these were some of the Muslim friends.
Forget about the Muslims' friends.
Yeah, forget about the non-Muslim ones. And I was like, what happened to you? You were like the good guys. And like, oh, you're missing out on some great fun. You have no idea.
You're
I said, thank
out.
You. Thank you. You enjoy and I'm good the
you
way
have your fun, I will have my fun, inshallah. So, Sheikh, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Okay.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, please pick up where you left off.
I was talking about some of the friends that I knew that, you know, when in the school days they were good, and when I went to college and I met them after 3-4 years, they were totally out of control. Rather, there were some of the friends that I had in the college, right at the beginning of the college, and they were different because they had just come from schooling, they finished their O-levels.
Fresh from a controlled healthy environment.
Exactly, O-levels, and they got into the A-levels, they're with me, and I'm like, wow, good friends and all that. After six months, I see them, you know, totally going out of control. Why? Because they just picked one wrong guy, literally one wrong guy to hang around with after the college hours, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, they would spend time with them. And after 6 months, this guy is totally off the track. It's
right, so completely affected.
If it's okay, let me share another example of one of the persons I know, one of the girls who was studying medicine in the college. And, you know, she came to Qom to study Islamic material. And she's like, before I get into my real life, let me come here, study for a couple of years
and
understand Islam so that I make sure that when I start my life, my married life,
On an Islamic foundation.
On the Islamic foundation, and I follow the methodologies. And then when she was, you know, telling us all the stories of what's happening in the college, boys and girls and everything, and we were literally shocked. And she said, it was so difficult for me to just go to college every day. The fact that I had to get up and go to such an environment
was a punishment.
You.
But even in Islamic countries, we have the same issues.
It is there. My point is that the parents have to take care of this scenario. They should know that my daughter, my son is going to school, but the environment of the school is so pathetic, so bad that it's literally punishment. She would say that I would sit in the taxi or the bus going to college, and I would literally cry that I have to get into such an environment. Right. Absolute filth. And they would taunt her for being a hijabi girl, for being a pious religious person and not doing what they're doing, right? And that was such a torture for her. But she protected herself, she safeguarded herself because there was good upbringing from the parents' side.
Right.
And eventually she came here, she learned about Islam, and now she's back into her life, following her career and following Islam. And this is where is my point that I want to emphasize upon, that parents have to step in.
They have to step in at an early age from the beginning, because you said yourself, she was already raised Islamically, conditioned Islamically.
Exactly. Like I said, right from the sixth month.
Because it's too late to try to control them, work on them now. It's
so
gone.
It has to start from the sixth month onwards. You know, you slowly start building upon
it. Well, actually, we start as soon as they're born. We say the Adhan wal Iqam.
Exactly.
As soon as they're born.
Right. So
it is a lifelong process.
And today the world is so challenging and difficult, you know. They're promoting the gay concepts and all that stuff.
Harder and harder to be religious and especially for Muslims, God help them, in Western countries. They are attacked on a daily basis by the school curriculum, the teachings that are taught.
The worldview that is being promoted there. So they're constantly under attack.
Political views, they're horrible.
So this is, again, where not just knowing this aspect that my son needs or my daughter needs people of the same age, but also understanding the curriculum in the school and answering the shubhat, doubts, the skepticism that is promoted.
Misconceptions that often lead to disastrous results.
So the parents have to be ready with these answers. They have to be prepared with these answers so that when the son or the daughter comes home and says, Dad, Mom, this is what they're teaching us at school, they should be able to answer it and justify it and convince the child of the answers.
Allow me to ask you one final question and then we will have to end today's session. And that is, if I am a parent and I live in a country that has such a secular curriculum, for example, that leads to this corruption of faith, should I then logically send my children to universities, or should I rather prefer to take them out?
Homeschooling?
Homeschooling, or even perhaps immigrate to another country.
Look, there are fatawas, there are rulings here about it. If there is an option of homeschooling, I would highly recommend you opt for that.
It's very difficult to university.
Exactly.
And, right.
And homeschooling, particularly at university level, is really challenging. And
exactly,
even
yeah.
distance education from distance
virtual.
Learning, it's going to be virtual
right.
learning. It's
yeah.
going to be difficult. On the other hand, the rulings that I remember from Ayatollah Sistani and other Maraji Taqlid is that if you are sending your child, if you're sending your son or daughter to university and they are promoting haram and you're worried that your child might be involved into this haram, then it becomes wajib upon you to migrate to another city, another location. And if the whole country's curriculum is like that, migrate to a country where the curriculum is more congenial and friendly with Islamic ways rather than teaching your child to commit sins regularly.
And keeping that in mind, inshallah, we ask Allah that He protect us from all of these vile influences.
Inshallah, illahi ameen.
I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.